Hello and welcome to Red Femme. If you have a second, you like us, please subscribe and also check out the extra episodes we do on Patreon. Today, we're going to be talking about TikTok phenomenon, Reese Tisa.
And who the fuck did I marry?
Yeah, that's what her 51-part series is called. And the reason that we're doing an episode on it is captivating women everywhere. There are TikToks of women watching it in salons. Like, women are glued to their phone on the bus. And this has gone mega, mega, mega viral. And it's a 51-part series by a TikTok user called Reese Tisa. We guess her real name is probably Teresa.
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah.
And she is a working-class Black woman in the United States. And she tells a tale of her ex-husband, his lies.
Yeah, I remember I watched it in 24 hours, and I think it's about an 8-hour watch as I was going about my day and doing things. And I remember the last time I was glued to something like that was Serial, which was like the first true crime podcast that went super viral and basically started the true crime genre of podcasts, which is obviously huge now. But I remember I didn't stop listening to that till it was done. And it was a very similar thing. Like, it was, her storytelling is excellent. The way she draws out the suspense is excellent. The way she brings you into her perspective is excellent. Just excellent, excellent storytelling of like the highest.
And she's got a lovely voice as well.
Lovely.
And she's done it so that you can listen to it on a playlist, like an audiobook.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of her, you know, driving in a car to work, telling that part of the story. And when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, you know, if this is just a woman listing lies her husband told, how is that 51 parts? But she takes you on the narrative.
Yes. And I was trying to get Jen to listen, and Jen was a bit more skeptical, I think. Until I was recap, I was, so I'd watch a few of the videos and then I would audio voice note Jen and like recap it to her and be like, this is so captivating. And then it got to the point where Jen was like, watch more. I need to know more. I need to recap more. I can't figure out where you are in the story. What part are you on?
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? You were like, I'm just having some food. And I was like, but listen to it whilst you cook. Yeah. So we'll regale a bit of the story so that we can discuss it, but we won't spoil everything,
and it won't be as good as her telling of it. So go watch. The TikTok user is called Reese Tisa.
R-E-E-S-A-T-E-E-S-A.
Yeah.
So this woman, I'll give my version. This is a third-hand version. Yes. The listeners are getting via you from Reese Tisa. And basically, this woman meets a man on Facebook dating. He seems nice.
Yeah.
And they meet up. He tells her his life story. He says he's from a very religious Christian background, that his, you know, his family were very church going, and he has different sisters and brothers. And, you know, he's from this big family. He says that he has a very good corporate job.
Yeah.
And, you know, he says that he went to, is it California State?
San Diego, UC San Diego. I think.
University of California, San Diego, that he played football there for a while, managed to save quite a lot of money.
And that he joined arena football, which is playing football in an arena, and that he was kind of a semi-professional football player.
Okay, so that's like a lower league below the NFL.
Yeah, so he didn't do a lie that was unbelievable. It was like, and she was like, oh, I'd never heard of arena football, so I thought, plausible, sure. Yeah.
That's like, there are some men who are in like the third league of football here and they can get paid 40 grand a year.
Yeah.
Something like that. And, you know, they have some fans and people go and they make a decent salary. So, you know, everything seemed great and they moved in together, right?
Well, it was right before the pandemic and the story, it's not very believable. He said, I've relocated here. The story was he was born in Philadelphia, had family in Philadelphia, moved to Georgia, where this all takes place, for high school, and made friends in high school there, and then went to California for university and had this arena football career in California, that he had married a woman in California, And he had stepchildren there, and that he was still in contact with the stepchildren. They had a good relationship, which is obviously, women like to hear that kind of thing because you think, oh, what a nice guy. He's still, you know, in contact with his stepchildren.
Well, look, it is a very nice thing, but it's so nice. I don't know a single example of that. I don't know a single, I've never met a single man who says, I still see, support or care about to the point where I'll provide something or want to spend time with them, stepchildren of a mother he's no longer with.
I know of one example.
Okay.
Of a friend of my sister's whose mother was like an alcoholic and a drug addict, whose stepfather basically took care of the kids when the mom went to jail and was the primary guardian.
Yeah. And after they broke up.
And after they broke up. Yeah. I know one example. Yeah.
All right. So it's very, very, very rare.
Yeah.
But obviously this shows he's a caring, responsible man. All of this are like waving green flags, like a parade of green flags to women, right?
Yeah. So the story with the moving in together, we should be careful not to just regale the whole thing. But the story of the moving in together was, it was right before COVID, and he said, oh, I've just relocated here and I'm living in a studio apartment. And it's while I look for a proper house to live in. And the company that I've worked for has paid me so much money to relocate. And I've been approved for a mortgage. I just need to actually find the house. And in the middle of all this, COVID happens. COVID really did some very weird things to the status of women, as far as I'm concerned, which is a whole other topic. But COVID happens and they're getting along so well. She said, why don't you come quarantine with me? And you remember it was 2 weeks until to crush the curve or whatever the slogan was. And so he moves in with her, and they eventually, after a few months living together, they say, what's the point in getting a house separately? Let's get a house together. And he had a printout of his mortgage that was approved from Chase Bank for such and such money. He leads her down a goose chase where the mortgage was approved and then disapproved, and they found a house. And then he said, actually, I can pay for it up front. I don't need the mortgage. And then he refused to have proof of funds. Anyway, it basically was exposed. He would do this thing where he would promise her something, and it wouldn't be so garish and lavish that one would think, oh, that's not possible. It would be plausibly deniable enough that she would believe it, and I think any reasonable person kind of would, and then at the last minute, it would fall apart. And
something would fall through. So he said he had 700 grand from his football career that he said was in an offshore account to avoid taxes, which some people do, and that, you know, we didn't need to mess around with this mortgage stuff that kept falling through. He could pay it up front with cash. But then eventually, you know, she found a, I think in America they call them a mortgage broker or a housing broker. Here we'd just
say...
A realtor. Yeah, here we'd just say estate agent. So a realtor in America that wanted proof of funds in a more actual way. And he just said, no, I'm not going to do that. So there were a few things that were getting weird, but this guy would get up every morning for work. He'd go off to work. He'd come back at the end of the day. And also he said to her, whilst we live together, I'll pay all the rent and I'm happy to pay all the groceries.
So he was paying all her bills, basically. So she was like, clearly this guy does have money. I've also seen he's been approved for quite a significant mortgage. He goes to work, he pays all my bills. So there was enough, I think a lot of very reasonable people would believe what he was saying.
Well, basically, if someone is willing to pay your rent, which was over $1,000, I think she said.
Yeah.
And then groceries today are probably like $500 at least for two people for a month.
Yeah.
Then you think, oh, this person does have a good job. They've got a certain amount of money. And again, they're showing, and this is one of the things that I think women really like to see from men. And this is why men, you know, there's all this discussion about who pays for the first date or who pays for all the dates. It's that unfortunately, a lot of men lead women up the garden path in order to sleep with them or sleep with them for a while before discarding them. And when someone is spending money, it's an investment in you. It's a literal investment.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an actual, definite and symbolic investment in the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that this woman is a kind of working class woman who's done very well. She said that she grew up in the projects or Section 8 housing.
Yeah.
That's so social housing. Here we would say a council estate. She has, you know, a good job. She's essentially like a class climber who's probably in the upper working class and wanted to be middle class.
Yeah.
And this was sort of a way to do it with a joint income with a man who has a corporate job. And he, you know, she would say, oh, what building do you work in? And he'd say, oh, it's the one opposite the whatever park or whatever stadium. And she'd say, oh, can I come and have a look? And then he would have these phone calls where he would ask people, oh, hi, you know, is Jimmy there? I just want to get a pass for my girlfriends. She can come in and see the office.
My wife at this point.
Okay, my wife at this point, they were married. My wife at this point, because that was it. She got pregnant and then they had a miscarriage. But yeah. They were planning to keep the baby. So there are this level of seriousness that I actually think it's more serious than marriage to have a baby with someone.
Yeah.
Because then you are in their life. You have to be in one another's lives in some approximate way. Forever, probably, but at least 20 years.
At least 25 years these days.
Yeah.
At least 25 years, yeah.
So for me, that's a bigger deal than marriage. And I guess they thought, you know, why don't we get married then?
And they're both... Well, he was purporting to be, and she actually is quite religious.
Yeah, she's a religious Christian. So, you know, he couldn't get her the pass. The wrong person was in. She said that there was a lot of this, some kind of floating a nice idea, and then it would fall through. And she later on said, you know, of course, if you just worked there, I probably wouldn't have needed a pass at all. Like, it's weird that he even had to call for this. This guy doesn't work for the CIA.
Yeah, and it was just this repeated thing of lies that were plausibly deniable, very specific, and I think weren't so... Because sometimes, you know, there's these kind of silly scams that often elderly women fall for, unfortunately, where it's, I'm a prince in Nigeria. Like, it was all deniable. He was working for a company whose head office was in the city that they lived in, was approved for a mortgage, was paying all the bills. So everything, to look at it, checked out. Completely checked out.
And you just think there's funny stuff going on with the mortgage. You just put that down to, say, bureaucracy, and that he's being weird and stubborn about the final show of proof of funds that he has to give. You think he, you know, pops off to work every day. He's paying the rent. He's paying the groceries. This all seems great. Did he work at the Heinz factory, she said?
Well, she said a condiment company, and that was my guess.
Okay.
She said the whatever condiment company has a head office in... Atlanta, Georgia.
So, right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, like, decent corporate job. And I think that, again, like, we do live in a time where, and, you know, I think that this is cultural. I'm not saying it's natural because it changes throughout history. But we're living in a time where less men are willing and able to meet the expectations of things like marriage, like provide something. Yeah. Not saying they have to be the only provider, but if you're in a marriage, you're meant to provide something and take responsibility, spend money, not just keep it for yourself in your video games. For someone, I think he was probably just in his 30s, this man. She's in her 30s, I think.
No, I think he was in his early 40s and she was in her 30s.
Okay.
Yeah.
But for someone, honestly, even in the 40s, for someone to have, a man to have the maturity to be willing to be like all in.
Yeah.
I mean, a big question should have been, why wasn't he snapped up sooner? Because those men are highly desirable.
Well, he had the story about the ex-wife and how he, you know, and she cheated on him and he was the victim in it. And it was an acrimonious divorce, but they kind of made up to get along for the sake of the stepchildren that they still were. Anyway, the lies just got weird. And I believe everyone should watch the series before they listen to this, by the way. I think
we'll
make it good.
What we won't reveal the end. We won't reveal what was really going on.
Okay.
Because
we won't reveal the extent of it.
No. Yeah. What we should do is, because that was the hook that I wanted to know, what was happening.
Yeah.
How was he doing this? But, you know, safe to say what he promised her and what he was telling her were not true.
And the lies were such that he lied about things that were not, he didn't necessarily have to lie about. He embellished and created a world that was weird and specific and not true.
Yeah.
About many things.
Yeah. Should we say the thing just about the brother who's pretending to be his brother?
Well, this is the thing. I just think people should watch it and then listen to this.
Well,
but
let's just say one thing, because I think it's very psychologically interesting.
Yeah.
This guy was essentially living out a fantasy, the lies he was telling her, about being his twin brother, who indeed worked for a condiment company and had a decent corporate job and, to all intents and purposes, was like a normal guy.
Yeah. And a wife and kids.
And a wife and kids. And I think that there's something about siblings that are born very close in age, especially twins, and especially if they're the same sex, which is if your life has gone one way and it's gone quite wrong and the twins has gone well, it's very then hard to blame your circumstances, the circumstances you were born into, because you have an example of somebody who made it from the exact circumstances, like day dot that you were born in the same household with the same parents, and not even this thing of, you know, like siblings, like statistically middle children do the worst, firstborn do the best. Youngest children are often quite immature because they're babied. There's not even that arrangement where you're in a bit of a different subject position within the household. When you're a twin, you're a twin. Like,
yeah.
It's like saying ready, steady, go. Like you're running the race at the same time. And I think it drove him crazy to the point where, yeah, he found it somehow pleasurable or defensively needed for his, to sustain his ego and remain, you know, not mentally unwell, say, to not be that unwell. I think that that was why he had to act out his fantasy. Because it's funny, I've found the guy's Facebook. I mean, not me personally. It was in the TikTok comments, people had found it.
Yeah.
And he's very much gone off the deep end.
I think we're very used to talking about narcissism and in this kind of pop psychology way where people really underestimate how serious of a mental illness it actually is when it's proper full-blown narcissistic personality disorder, or when people end up becoming psychotic.
Or even particularly pronounced narcissism. None of them are well.
No, none of them are well. No. And how when, for a narcissist, if their narcissistic delusion, the thing that sustains their supply and their narcissistic ego and their sense of self,
their grandiose fantasy,
their grandiose fantasy, if that is threatened or taken away, often it can collapse into proper psychosis or proper madness as we would understand it.
Yeah.
And it looked like a Facebook of a mad person.
Yeah, it did. It had lots of repeated posts with the word king.
Yeah.
Sort of flash cars like Lamborghinis and mansions, and people were posting underneath proof of funds in all capital letters. And, you know, this, so many millions and millions of people have watched this woman's TikTok since about last week. And it's estimated that she's probably accumulated about $500,000.
Yeah.
In the TikTok creator scheme that is quite lucrative. And what's really nice is that one of the things that this waste man used to promise her was a trip to London and Paris. Again, a plausible trip.
Yeah.
This, I would imagine, is the kind of trip that middle-class Americans go on. They might have to save up a bit, take some time off work, but it's not, oh, five-star luxury in the, I don't know, Bahamas. It's not like over the top. It's not like celebrity. It's like, oh, that's a doable trip. And what's great is that she'd announced saying, oh, I'm going to go to London and Paris, because clearly now she's got bank, she can. And then what's so nice is this London hotel, I don't remember the name, Corinthian, something like that, on Trafalgar Square has offered for her to stay, said, we'll give you our best suite. Delta Airlines has said they'll fly her. Even a hotel in Paris has said, we'll give you a suite. And then randomly, Hyundai have offered her a car.
Yeah, I think because brands are starting to realize if you interact with like a viral social media moment.
Yeah.
It's like Stanley Cup, those mugs / water bottle tumblers.
Yes.
A car caught on fire and the Stanley Cup survived. And the Stanley Cup founder was like, we're going to send you. Da, da, da. It's like about interacting.
Oh, and they bought her a new car.
Yeah.
And then the Stanley Cups. Like, people were fighting for them in stores.
Women love them. I know this is like a side note, but I'm of the age when I remember when drinking water out of a water bottle wasn't a thing. And I remember it becoming a thing as I became a teenager. But when I was growing up, we didn't drink water. We did not, no one had an idea to drink,
yeah,
that they had to drink water.
I remember having cystitis as a kid in school quite a lot. Yeah. I think in my infant school, because I think the first infant school I went to didn't give milk at break time.
Yeah.
And I remember not knowing how to describe that it hurts when I go to the loo.
Yeah.
But I now remember that it was cystitis because no one was thinking to give their kid a water bottle for school or a drink at break time.
I was old enough that they sent home a notice to the parents saying, send your kid with a water bottle. But that happened in my lifetime. For the young people who listen to this.
But this was in the 90s. What was happening to kids' kidneys from like the 40s onwards or whenever public education became a thing?
And I love how I think British people drank tea and Americans drank coffee, which are both like diuretics that are both like things that leach water from your body. We're just walking around like severely clinically dehydrated, but no one drank water. Like, I promise. The idea that you should pause and drink some water, this was not a thing that anyone thought. We all just had orange urine.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It must have been so bad for people. I remember I developed this habit as a kid because, again, no one was giving me a water bottle, where I would have a drink before I left the house. And I remember my grandmother was like amazed by it. And she was like, oh, my father used to do that. You're just like your great granddad, who I never met. But it was like, no, woman, this is just a sensible idea.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I'm going out for a couple of hours, I should have a drink of water before I go. You don't have access to water necessarily.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Stanley Cup thing is partly about, so this is just for people, it's just what do we describe it? It's like not a jug, but it's like a water cup.
It's a cup.
Refillable plastic thing with a straw.
It's not plastic. It's like...
It's like titanium.
It's like insulated, so you can put hot things, cold things in it. I think women like it because it's a bit like having a bit of a Starbucks cup, like you're drinking out of a straw.
Yes.
And this kind of thing.
I have a similar version myself.
Yeah.
But it's not for outside, it's for inside. Anyway, I think that women like it because it's a little bit like taking care of yourself.
Yes.
And people now understand the relationship between being hydrated and your skin.
Yeah.
And I also have seen a couple TikToks where women are doing very complicated things with these cups and putting all kinds of stuff in them. And then the idea is that you have the latest one, whether it's the latest color or like the Valentine edition. That was like that was what they were fighting about in late January.
It's a bit of an American thing, like, and I like it. I feel like I'm quite American in this way.
It's
like
peak commodity fetishism.
Completely. But I do think that it's nice to have it with ice, putting ice in your drinks, Europe. For God's sake, it makes it such a much nicer experience to have ice in your drinks.
We don't like ice because we think it's a raw deal. That you've put ice in the drinks, you don't want to give me as much Coca-Cola as, like, you're trying to be tight. That's what we think of it as.
But this is where you get the extra large fuck-off cup, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But you put flavor in, you put a bit of fruit in, you make it like an experience. And it definitely is like, let me create my little special commodity for sure. But I like it. I'm in favor of it. Whereas British people are like, we'll drink this tap water from these taps that were put into the ground in the Victorian era. And it tastes like it was.
More like the Roman era. To be honest.
Anyway, that's a sidetrack from Reese Hatisa.
So yeah, I think that the thing that I think really sold her on this guy was consistently paying
the bills. Because if the thing he's presenting is I'm a rich man or I'm a middle class man with money, and you start to think X, Y, and Z doesn't add up, I would just keep coming back to, but he's paying the bills.
Yeah.
So clearly he has money. Clearly he has money. And there's lots of things that save this woman from a much worse situation than she could have been in. And that, I'm sorry to say that she had a miscarriage. And she says herself, I thank God every day that I had that miscarriage, that she's not attached to this man forever. And the fact that she's a civilian member of law enforcement. Basically, she works in a civilian role in law enforcement. And that really also helped her later in the story.
So she was like the receptionist.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she calls this guy in the story Legion.
Because he had a couple of names he went by, and when she met him, she knew him as Legion, but that wasn't his real name. That's his actual name that she called him.
I thought she made it up because of that thing you told me about, Legion is the name of the demons working together in the Bible.
Yeah, but that just happens to be what he called himself.
Wow, how interesting.
Yeah, I think it's from Mark 5.
Okay.
St. Mark chapter 5.
Anyway, everyone should check it out.
But yeah, I think I also think it's one of those things that in the In the era of social media, it's so much harder to lie about who you are, to lie about your history, to lie about whatever. I just think men were doing this, and we know they were doing this all the time in the past, all the time.
Oh, like there are examples where men have second families.
Yeah.
And the woman just thinks they work a lot. And they tell each woman, because when I first started listening...
Yeah, you said that.
When I first started listening to Reese Tisa, I was like, he's got a second family who he tells that he works night shifts. And he tells her, I work during the day. But actually, he's just got some money somehow, maybe from illicit means.
Yeah.
But he's... That was my theory initially, is that he had a second family.
Yeah, that I thought... I think that kind of thing happened all the time. I mean, and I'm sure there were all kinds of lies men could tell and people could tell. You could be like, if you're interested in a Catholic girl and you were Protestant, and you could just be like, I'm actually Catholic, been Catholic this whole time.
Let me tell you, woman, let me tell you a lie of from a woman that she told me to impress me. This woman basically told me she was doing a PhD at Oxford University, and it was actually the Open University. But you know how they're both OU?
Right.
And the Open University is like, it's a university that you do online courses.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very different to the number one university in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's funny is I wouldn't have cared.
No.
I wouldn't have cared at all.
No.
Like, why would I mind? Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, I guess if anyone was doing a PhD, I'd be interested in why and what their thoughts were about it, but... Like, I'd date, like, a bin man. Well, a bin lady.
I just care if you're employed. That's kind of... If you're doing something, that's kind of what I care about. I actually do not care at all what it is. But, yeah, no, I think for women in such financially insecure times where everyone has a gig and a side hustle and it requires so much, basically, to just be independent, requires so much that to have... She's just like, I have to be honest, as a woman who... has struggled my whole life to not worry about the bills was intoxicating. That was her word, intoxicating. And I completely understand that. I completely understand that. And I think this whole thing that we're seeing with Tradwife, and we all know that material financial relations are what actually matters. In the cold light of day, that's what actually reveals so much. And at one point in the story, when she was starting to, she's like, I had this unconscious idea that I was in danger and things weren't going well. She was like, I decided I'd have to get a better job because I couldn't be relying on him paying the bills anymore. I had to get some money. And I think that that's what it's so important as a woman to be financially independent. And I totally get that thing of it's intoxicating to have someone pay your bills. And as a woman, in most places in the world, you can be taken care of. If you play your cards right, you can go from your family's home to a boyfriend to a husband. You could do that lifestyle, but the risks of that are so, so high. And I just think women need to hear that being financially independent as a woman is actually like should be your number one priority. And I even tell women, like, if you are doing like a degree in a humanities subject, amazing, good for you, do it, but have something in your back pocket. Have a certificate, have a diploma, for something that'll get you money, that is not something you hate doing, but something that'll get you money. It is just so important to be financially independent.
Well, I think those women that do the classic thing of from the parents' house to the boyfriend's house, the boyfriend becomes a husband, and they're provided for, basically, this idea of provision and protection. There are women who are real security seekers. But what they don't understand is that is incredibly insecure. And the way that actually you can seek security in the modern world is having a profession.
Yeah, it's true. You should have something that is, not to say inalienable, but is unassailable like that. Something that can't be taken away from you or could only be taken away from you in extreme circumstances is something that's really important to have. And it's completely understandable, that intoxication of being taken care of. Who wouldn't want that? I want that for people from the state. But, you know, it is just really, really important to be financially independent.
Yeah, I mean, I felt so sad when she said that thing of, I just thought it finally happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd finally been picked. Like, I was going to be in the serious relationship with a serious man that we were, you know, putting our... What do you call it? Putting our all's in together, putting our...
Yeah, sure.
No, there's an expression where you're putting your something in together.
Okay.
Anyway, you're setting up shop together. You're like, you know, for her, it will have seemed like, great. And he was a man with a good job. He was slightly older than her. He seemed kind and caring and generous. This is what women want. Even there's this Twitter account called Lindy Man on X, sorry, that is very popular, and he's a bit right wing, but he has some very sharp takes. This is why I follow him. And he was saying, I just don't know what men are talking about. There are millions upon millions of women in their 30s who want to get married and have children. You actually just need to offer them something.
Yeah.
And if you offer them something like responsibility, you have a job, you're up for the challenge of getting married and having children and organizing all of that, they will happily pick you.
Yeah.
They're just waiting around, but they're not going to just get with anyone anymore. They're happy to stay single unless you have something to offer. And he was basically advising men, saying, get something to offer, become someone that offers value, and there are millions of them just waiting for you.
And also be normal.
Yeah, be normal.
Those are the two things.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter how you look, I promise you.
No, not really.
No, not really.
You got to be hygienic, maybe.
Yeah, hygienic, for sure. But that's basically it.
I mean, this guy, looking at his Facebook, was not a looker, particularly.
No.
But there is something, especially because women, you know, a lot of women do think, oh, I want to have a kid. And the reality is that a lot of then those women think, I want to be at home with the baby for 2-3 years. Maybe pay for nursery sometimes. But a lot of the time, at least for the first year, often the woman is like, I want to be at home looking after my child. So this is a time period where you are going to have to rely on one salary. So finding that ability in advance, a man who's willing to do that, and you get to keep your money and he pays for stuff, it's like, oh, wow, I hit the prize.
Well, I think Sheila Smith Firestone is not right about many things, but I think she's basically right that this is the origin of patriarchy, is that there's in the postpartum period and during pregnancy, women are quite vulnerable physically and need to be taken care of to some extent. And you have to, men, the huge amount of men that listen to this podcast, but men, imagine that there's a time where both your legs are broken.
Yeah.
And you need to trust someone to take care of you when both your legs are broken. That's what women are looking at. You have to be normal and you have to make a bit of money, basically.
Oh, but also in terms of like her experience and how much they need someone that's a supportive partner, men, imagine someone shoots you in the dick.
Yeah.
And whilst you're recovering from getting shot in the dick, you're trapped indoors with a screaming Tamagotchi that screams.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to feed it.
Yeah.
And like be at its beck and call or it screams its head off.
And not go insane.
Yeah.
And also the challenge is like not to go insane.
Yeah, no, you have to be like super caring and attentive to this thing that screams every so often.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely need a supportive partner for that. Not, you don't, you know, some women do it on their own, but it's much harder. And a lot of women have a male partner and they're also doing it on their own.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of like to find that in advance where a man is sort of stepping up to the plate, you can see why she thought, okay, great, this is it. Like, let's throw our lots in together and off we go.
Yeah. And then if you have a bit of a traumatic experience with someone, i.e. a miscarriage, it can like
trauma bond
you to the person. And yeah, but it's a great series that everyone should definitely listen to.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Do check out Risa Tisa's audiobook playlist on TikTok.
Yes. And if you want more material, we're on Patreon at
patreon.com/redfem.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.